Catherine Jenkins, OBE. How are you?
That sounds very formal.
Doesn't it just, dear?
I feel like you should be curtsying.
I am. Catherine, great to have you on the programme again.
Oh, thank you. Lovely to be back.
Good honour for you, that though, the OBE, isn't it? I mean, that's addition since we last chatted.
It was so unexpected as well. I had just been to Afghanistan. It was like this time last year. And I thought, well, I'll go home and see Mum, because she generally has a little bit of a worry when I'm away in Afghanistan. And so got down the M4, walked through the front door, and she was standing there waving an envelope that had Cabinet Office on it, like a lunatic, like, open it, open it. And we opened it, and it's sort of, it says in it, you're not allowed to tell anybody. So we had a little glass of champagne and, swore ourselves to secrecy and toasted my dad and thought, oh, this is amazing. I just still didn't believe it was going to happen until then it gets announced, on New Year's Eve.
Mm. And did you manage to keep it to yourself?
Yeah. Yes, I did, actually. I'm very superstitious about these things. I did it when I got my record deal 10 years ago. I was like, if I tell anyone, maybe it just won't happen. And then I'll feel silly. So it was special because I got it in I think, recognition of the charity stuff I've done with Macmillan and with the British Forces. And so, when you really care about something, and I'm very proud of those connections. And so to get it with them just felt extra special.
You came to my mind actually a couple of weeks ago before I knew that I was going to be talking to you today, because 2 weeks ago I was running a full week's campaign here on the radio. We were talking about lung cancer and encouraging people that if they had a cough for any more than 3 weeks, then go and see a doctor. We had doctors in and we had things. And you came to my mind because of the work that I know you do with Macmillan, and because of that's how your dad died as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, my dad passed away of lung cancer when I was 15. And so, yeah, it sort of became a family charity, really. And recently have had our lives touched by more cancer. Sadly, one of my best friends passed away this year at the age of 33. And so, you really, it takes a few minutes to go and get, checked for these things. And I'm all for supporting things like that. It's at least then things can be dealt with if you've got the early signs and, you get in there quick enough.
That's right. It came across, in the week that we had was very much how men are the ones who say, I'm okay. I'll cope with it. It's just a cold. It's just a cough. But, come on, men, man up and get there.
Well, that's exactly what my dad did. He didn't get round to go. He was not a fan of the doctor. So there we go. That's proof. So, yeah, definitely get out there and get checked.
I'm sure your dad be more than proud of you with the OBE and all the success that you've had as well.
Thank you. It's one of those things that my dad actually he drove me around after school to my piano lessons and my singing lessons, and really made me believe, sort of in a non-pushy way, but more in a just sort of building my confidence that this would all happen. And I like to think that even though he's not with me seeing that he is with me, and he is looking over this and guiding me in some way, because he would have absolutely loved this. He would have, when I got that letter about the OBE, he would have burst out laughing. Yeah. He wouldn't have believed it.
you're again coming across and to our listeners as very grounded, Catherine. And it really annoyed me a little while ago when I read in the paper you being called a diva. Now, you and I have met two or three times, and, people have said, as they do, you're a national, international celebrity, and people say, what like that is really, really nice. And then when I read somebody calling you a diva, I thought, oh, that is not... How do you cope with that? Are you one of those, Catherine, that just goes, oh, well, they don't really know me? Or does it get to you a little bit?
I think it naturally has got to get to you. Like, I am human. When you read this stuff, I guess the biggest one to me that comes to mind was when I ran the London Marathon. And then there was the following morning, I woke up and I was still walking down the stairs backwards because my feet, my and the legs and my feet were killing so much. And then I saw an article where it was like, you know, I had basically run the marathon because I'm an attention seeker and I wanted publicity. And I was like, oh my gosh.
I know, I did read
that. That is crazy. That's... because, you know, it sort of demeans anybody who's ever run a marathon because, you know, you put 6 months plus training in for that. And we raised £30,000 for Macmillan, my cousin and I. And it's just one of those things. And yeah, of course, it, you know, there's times when you've got to stand up for yourself and say, hang on a minute, that's not right, which is what I did on that occasion. Mm-hmm. But then there are other things where, you know, the person being portrayed is so far away from who you are, but you can't really stop it. And I'm not sure I'll ever develop a thick enough skin where I don't care. But my mum is, you know, well, we know the truth.
Yes.
Just come back to Wales. We'll give you a
Those who know, you know the truth. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, when I read that, I mean, I couldn't run down the street for a bus, never mind running a marathon. So I admire everybody who takes part in things like that. And I thought to myself at the time, well, I'm sure Kathleen can think of a lot easier ways to attract attention to herself.
Exactly.
Put yourself through that, you know.
Exactly. You know, it's, and I wouldn't say that I'm at, well, at that point in my life I wasn't necessarily an athletic person or anything. I've never run, you know, that far before, so I felt like it was a very emotional day, and it was a big sort of personal achievement. And then, you know, for somebody to get the whole meaning of the day so wrong is quite unbelievable.
Yeah, but they've got column inches to fill, I suppose. You know,
I suppose.
And you happen to be the target on that day. So let's move on to the new album, Home Sweet Home.
Yes.
Yes. That means a lot to you, doesn't it? Getting home. Getting
it
home
does.
To your mum. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was sort of a reflective title as well, in that with this being the 10th album, you know, I wanted to look back and go, what were the best bits? Like what were the things that the fans reacted best to? And I realised that when I'm doing the classical music stuff, still, you know, crossover, still, mm-hmm. still the stuff that people know and love. But when I'm doing that, that's when I feel my most natural. And so I wanted to make an album in that vein. But also, you know, I've gone sort of full circle musically and gone back to the record company that signed me when I was a 23-year-old school teacher. So I felt like I'd gone home in some respects. And I also wanted to, you know, pay a little bit of a tribute to Wales and to the UK, because I've had an amazing 10 years and I've been able to travel around the world and sing. But, you know, it all started back here, and I've got to acknowledge that.
In the Abbey Road studios as well, going there to record, yeah.
Yeah, that's, you know, again, I think channeling this sort of, you know, homecoming thing, I felt like, you know, you don't get much better for an iconic British music venue as Abbey Road. So we made the album there, and I did the zebra crossing and I signed the wall, because you got to do it. And it was very inspiring to be in there.
I was chatting, my guest just the other week was another Welsh lady who just finished recording in Abbey Road series as well. Dame Shirley Bassey was on the programme. I know, she was just amazed at the, you know, whole Abbey Road thing. She was so excited about it.
I know. And then she, I remember when I was there walking in and seeing this amazing, you know, black and white photograph of Dame Shirley, you know, from, I guess, one of her first albums or something. And, you know, she looked fantastic. And you just sort of see this row of all these people who've been there before you and think, wow, I've really got to up my game today. I've really got to try and sing well.
And on the album, you have some guests on there as well.
I do. So I recorded, there's a song on there called Ode to Joy by Beethoven, and David Garrett, who's, you know, a huge, hugely well-known violinist now in places like Germany, he plays on that. And then I also wanted to do Barcelona. And so I was inspired, you know, growing up by hearing Montserrat Caballé sing all those notes. So I thought, well, I'll ask Alfie Beau to, you know, do the Freddie Mercury part. And it just turned out so well. It was a, you know, the idea was an exclusive track on my album, but, you know, very much enjoyed doing it. We'd never recorded before. And then, of course, we got the opportunity to sing it live at Edinburgh Castle for the Commonwealth Games.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That was an amazing experience.
It's I have to say, one of my favourite tracks on the album. I went back to it two or three times because it just turned it up in the car, you know, and let it blast out. Absolutely fabulous.
Thank you.
So I really enjoyed that. that one. And of course, it starts off with that Welsh message as well, doesn't it? Because it's one of your favourites starting it off as well.
Yeah, well, I started the album with my Hen Lad Fy Nhadau, which is the Welsh national anthem. And I wanted to put it on there because, you know, it's been such an important song in my career. When I signed my record deal, it was the first thing that I got asked to do. You know, I went from singing for like maybe 200 people back in church to, you know, 74,000 people at the Millennium Stadium in Cardiff for the rugby. Mm-hmm. And it changed my life. And I've performed it live so many times, but thought, well, why have I never actually recorded this? And obviously not everybody's Welsh. And so I wanted to make a song version of it. So it's not done just as a straightforward anthem. It's done as a song version.
And other favourites of yours from the album, what would you highlight on there then for us, Catherine?
My favourite is actually Dreaming of the Days, which is written, it's the most famous theme tune by a composer, classical composer of now called Ludovico Einaudi. And I love his music, and people may not know his name, but he's writing stuff for films, you know, Hollywood films and adverts and stuff. And they're very, very beautiful melodies. And he's never before given permission for anybody to use his stuff, you know, outside of what he does. But we approached him and he kindly let us add words to his most famous tune. And so we created a song called Dreaming of the Days.
Fabulous. So you're 10th album, and it's out for Christmas, of course. What's in store for you for Christmas? What are you planning to do?
Well, I'm going to be going back to Wales with my new husband.
Indeed. And my apologies. Congratulations.
Thank
on
you.
On the recent wedding, yes, Mr. and Mrs.
I know, it's so funny. It's only been a couple of months, but it's still very, very exciting and a lovely time. So we'll all be going back to Wales. And I also became an auntie this year for the first time. So I just want to have some cuddles with baby Reese. That's what I'm most excited about. And then New Year's Eve, I'm going to be singing at the Brandenburg Gate in Berlin to a million people, which I'm kind of, I don't even know what a million people looks like.
A heck of a lot, Catherine.
I know. I think it's going to be a crazy end to the most fabulous year. So, yeah, it's going to be lots of fun. And then, of course, on tour February and March of next year.
Right. Well, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme this morning. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
Great festive time, and all the best to you, your mum, your family, and, of course, your new husband as well.
Oh, thank you. And I'll see you, be back in Scotland on the 26th of February for the tour.
I look forward to it. Thank you very much,
Catherine.
Thank you.
Thank you. Lots of love.
Bye-bye.